He can do 90 mitzvahs the next day. Kol zman he does not do tshuva on this avera, he is a rasha. He is defined in the Torah with the name rasha. That's what the definition of this person is. If he does tshuva afterwards, he is defined in the Torah as a tzaddik gomer. And this is the famous Gemara in Kiddushin Memtas. If someone is mekadesh ha'isha al manaz that I am a tzaddik, and really he's a rasha, so it's a safi kiddushin. Why? The Gemara says shema hirer tshuva beliba. It could be that he had a hirer tshuva b'shas the kiddushin, and v'nas a tzaddik, he becomes a tzaddik. The reason why it's a suffik edition is not because there's a suffik in this din. The suffik is because we don't know if he actually had a hirat tshuva. But if we would be certain that he did have a hirat tshuva, he is a tzaddik. The lashon tzaddik gomer der chagav is also bedik in Eretz Zerua, one of the famous rishonim in Siman Kuf Yud Beis. He quotes this gemara and says, "Shem hirat tshuva belibay v'nasa tzaddik gomer." He becomes a tzaddik gomer. He uses the lashon tzaddik gomer, although in kiddushin it just says tzaddik without gomer. So the question is, at what moment are you a beinoni? It doesn't mean that everything in his life that he did was rishus. It means because he did this aveir and he did not yet do tshuva on it, so the definition, he is in a state of a person who rebelled, who was married against Melech Malcham Lacham HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he is defined as a rasha because of this aveir. It doesn't mean never did a mitzvah until he does tshuva. That remains his definition, and therefore he's pasul eidus. And the Torah calls him that. So the question is, when is he a beinoni? If he didn't do tshuva, he's called a rasha. Even if it's one aver, if he did tshuva, he's called a tzaddik in the Gemara. So at what stage? Give me a scenario where this person can be called a beinoni. So you say a beinoni is 50% mitzvahs, 50% aver. When? If he has, let's say, 1,000 mitzvahs, then he does one aver, he's called a rasha. If he does tshuva, he's a tzaddik. So when is he a beinoni? So when is he a tzaddik? When is he... Did he do tshuva on the Averis? So what's the din? Is he pasul eidus or not pasul eidus? No. Why? You have a taina now that l'cha'eire psuli eidus ain't a chanami. Psuli eidus is only on a laf sheyesh by malchus, it says. So maybe a beinoni could be, let's say he's over on an eset. So that's what Alter Rebbe continues now. That's the next step. A laf sheyesh by malchus. Or an eset. Or red. Derech Agav, this is not negay over to the Shach Levataya. In Pshat Psalayeh, this Gufat is a machlaikus. The Rambam, for example, says only if he's ever on a lav which he receives malchus for. The Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Balatanya says if he's ever on a lav she'im hayu masrim by he would receive malchus. He drags it even further. He says when the Gemara says lav sheish b'malchus, it doesn't mean he lepoil did a lav and he received malchus. It's such a type of lav that he would have received malchus under other circumstances, if there would have been Edom and Asra, but that's parent Derech Agav. But not a lav shein be maisa, which ain't like in a lav. That's a lav that there's no deed, there's no maisa. In a chanami, the Gemara says that. Kivin shehika nikra chicha, ya makas. Ain lecha dover emet b'fnei ha-tshuva. Ain lecha dover emet, a person can always do tshuva. Huh? Now, sometimes the penalty is a very severe one, but Ein lecha davar emet b'fnei ha-tshuva. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva at length. You can look over there. Pardon? He says there are many things that Eimah speaking b'yadei lasas tshuva and deicha kemoise, etc. But still, afal b'kein, even b'negei elisha b'navuyah, it says, you heard a baskel, that everyone can do tshuva chutz me'acher. And the Gemara says that still he made a mistake, because if dachak v'nichnos, he still could have done tshuva. Pardon? Yeah. The Rosh Chachma is Masbid. The Maimon Chazal and Psachim call Mashayim Lecha Balabayis. I say Chutz Mitzay. Whatever the if you come into someone's house, whatever the Balabayis says, you have to obey. Besides one thing, if he tells you leave, you don't have to obey. The Rosh Chachma says that everything the Eibushter tells you, you have to listen to. Besides one thing, if Hashem tells you to say, get out of my domain, leave me, I don't want to have to do with you, that you don't have to listen to. Chutz Mitzay, you insist. No, I'm connected to you and I'm staying here. That's how he interprets this Maimon Chazal. Pardon? Chutz mitzei. Okay. So now the Alter Rebbe addresses this issue that you bring up. He says like this. Even someone who's over on a light iser from Divrei Seferim is also called a Rasha. Kedisa beperik beis the Yevamos of a perik hamad Nida. Both of these places in the second perik of Yevamos, the first perik of Nida, the Gemara addresses clearly someone who's over al iser kausha Divrei Seferim, and the Gemara defines them as Rasha, Mikri Rasha, and this is a Divrei Sefer. Nachmerer, maybe a Beinoni is not someone who is over actually an Anavera, but someone who's Mishi Yesh Biyadei Limchis V'Loi Micha. That would be a Beinoni. So he says, no, afilu Mishi Yesh Biyadei Limchis V'Loi Micha Nikra Rasha. The Perigvav de Shvuz. In Perigvav de Shvuz, the Gemara says clearly, even if someone himself does not transgress, but he was in a position where he could protest it, where he can prevent it, and nonetheless, for whatever reason, Loi Micha, he's also called a Rasha. So it's a kol shekin v'kalvachemer madach. If someone is over on the isur kala divrei seferim, he's defined as a rasha. And someone who has an ability to be meichi is defined as a rasha. Certainly, someone who has an ability to be mekayim a mitzvah esi, to perform a positive mitzvah that Rabbeinu Shlomo has commanded him, and he does not do it, he's certainly called a rasha. Kemay, for instance, kol shavshele lasik b'teira v'neisik. If someone has the possibility to be Isaac in Torah, to learn Torah, and he does not. Shalav darshu razal, on such a human being, there azal darshan in Sanhedrin, daf tzadik tes, ki dvar Hashem bazi, ikaris vigaymer. That he embarrassed dvar Hashem, and he should be cut off. The Gemara applies, Rachman al-Utslan, to an individual who had an ability even for one rega to study Torah, and he did not study Torah. He was mevatel the mitzvah sasi of limud ha-Torah. There's a mitzvah sasi to learn Torah every free moment, and this person did not. So b'meila, that's what the Gemara applies this pasuk to. Upshite, it's pasha, the mikri rasha, such an individual is called a rasha tvei meiver iser de rabbanan. More than someone who's over an iser of rabbanan. This is, you're dealing with a mitzvah esim in a Torah, not with an iser de rabbanan. V'im kain, if so, al karchach, we must say, habenini, that the benini ain by afilu avin bitul Torah, does not even possess the Avera of Bittul Torah. Not only did he not commit a Lais Essa or another essay or other Averas, but even the oven of Bittul Torah, which as we all know from our personal life, it's quite a difficult Avera not to be over on Bittul Torah, every free moment to engage in Limud HaTorah. But if, yeah, he would be a Rashi, he's not a Beinoni anymore. So when we discuss a Beinoni, we have to say that aim by a filu avin bitul Torah. There is no scenario possible, other scenario, that he should be a Beinoni. Now we understand very well. That's why Rabbi could make a mistake that he's a Beinoni. Now I understand. When Rabbi gets up and says, Kegainan a Beinoni, it's not up as a Rosh Hashiva, Pumpadissa, you're dealing with one of the Gdeli Adair, stands up and saying, I have Mechtza Avenis. A Beinoni is Gansa Feinabal Madrega. It's a person who was neighbor on one mitzvah, not on the mitzvah's essay, not on the mitzvah's leisesen, not on the isur kalshul divrei seferim, not even on kol mishi yesh biyadei limchis v'loi micha. The Alter Rebbe still says, ta, he made a mistake, because he was really a tzaddik, as Abaye condemned. But nonetheless, we can understand where he's coming from. It's an inyan which is bididami, it's a similar experience. L'chura beinani is someone who doesn't even have the oven of bittul Torah. Yeah. Pardon? The oven of Bittul Torah means someone who has an ability to study Torah and does not doesn't accept the Torah, he doesn't utilize the moment to study. Now if someone has a job, has to support himself, of course you have to sleep, you have to eat, then it's not an issue of Bittul Torah. Bittul Torah means someone who has a free moment where he does have an ability to learn and nonetheless does not learn. So this is now the Taitra of a Beinoni. This is the Gedra of a Beinoni. It's a whole other Taitra of a Beinoni. It's not someone who has 50% Zachis, 50% Aveinis. You're dealing with a Yid who was not Aver, one Avera. Or the Tshuva, even if he was Aver and Avera. Mitzvah Sessim, Mitzvah Slice, Siddiv, Yosefrim, even call me Shech Bredin Limchas Velay Micha. This is what a Beinoni is. We'll just conclude with the Haggah on the side. This is a footnote that the Alter Rebbe himself wrote. Umash kasuv bezayar chelik gimel dafresh lamed aleph kol shemu muatin avinaisa v'chul. In zayar and chelik gimel dafresh lamed aleph, Reb Hamnuna meets Eliyahu Anavi, and Reb Hamnuna asks this famous question: why do bad things happen to good people? Why is there a tzaddik v'rali and a tzaddik v'tevle? And Reb Hamnuna wants to explain that what's a tzaddik? A tzaddik v'rali is someone who has mu'atin aveinosav, he has a little aveinus, and a tzaddik v'tovli, he has no aveinus. So l'cha'era, Dr. Rebbe over here is saying that a beinoni even doesn't have mu'atin aveinosav, and over there Rebbe Hamnuna makes a suggestion that even a tzaddik has mu'atin aveinosav, a tzaddik v'rali, and that's why he has negative experiences in life to atone for the little sins that he has in this world. So Dr. Rebbe says, he shailas Rebbe Hamnuna l'Eliyahu. That's Rebbe Hamnuna makes a suggestion. He inquires, he questions Eliyahu if it's so. But Eliyahu responds in Zayir over there, and Eliyahu Hanavi says that the reason why the tzaddik is virala is not because of Mu'atin Avinosav, but because he atones for the chatayim of the world. So Avalufi Chuvas Eliyahu Sham, according to the Chuvas of Eliyahu in Zayir, appears tzaddik virala yukumishakasav b'rayim hem naparsha mishpatim d'la'el. The title of Tzaddik V'Ra'ali is like we quoted before from Zayir Mishpatim, which says that Tzaddik V'Ra'ali is not someone that has Averis. A Tzaddik which has Ra'ah, but the Ra'ah is Kafuf and Batl. It's totally subordinated to the Toiv which is in him. Aye, the Shaila is, what was Rabbi Nunes Kasal Kedai Techivin? So he says, V'Shivim Panim L'Teira. There are 70 dimensions to the Teira. Amid Barabba says this, and even Gemara Shabbos says that everything the Eberster told Moshe Rabbeinu, he told him in 70 languages. That's one lashon. A pshat over there is v'shivim, which says in many places in Midrash and in Zohar, v'shivim panim l'Torah. Every aspect of Torah has 70 methods of interpretation. Literally, every inyan in Torah has 70 methods of interpretation. The Arizal goes further. The Arizal writes that every pasuk and inyan in Torah has 600,000 interpretations. But first, let's try to... 70 is Shivim Panim L'Torah, because and it's logical. Torah is a divine communication, it's divine revelation. Hashem is infinite, so it incorporates every aspect of dimension. It's all pervading, all encompassing. So Shivim Panim L'Torah. So Rabbi Hamnuna thought, although he understood that a tzaddik does not have any avinus, even a beinoni, but he thought maybe according to one of the explanations of Torah, one of the Shivim Panim, that could be the definition of a tzaddik. But Eliyahu says no. Even according to the one of the Shivim Panim, there is no such a definition. There is no such a definition of a tzaddik. Now, I just want to conclude. This old Alter Rebbe is a preface to usher in the learner and reader of the Tanya to explore the inner dynamic of the Jew. Because right away we are forced to start defining Yiddishkeit in a deeper perspective. You just heard what a beinoni is. Why is that man called a beinoni? That's a tzaddik. If it's so great a tzaddik than that, a person who didn't do one aveira? Come on, that's a beinoni. What can a tzaddik be already? If this is a beinoni, what's a tzaddik? So immediately, we are exposed to a deeper dimension, where we define a tzaddik and a beinoni not according to what they do, because the beinoni in conduct is 100%, just as good as a tzaddik. We have to begin relating to the internal aspect of the Jew. And over here, suddenly, a new world is opened up to the extent that this person is called a tzaddik. This person is called a beinoni. Although in the external dimensions of machshava dibur ha'maaseh, he's totally a tzaddik.
That's a good question. Why not make a distinction, you're asking, between psuleidus and the general mahus of the person? Which means, in other words, when the Alter Rebbe is searching for a scenario where the Jew is described as the beinoni, why don't we say as follows? That a beinoni is a Jew as mechtze zachis and mechtze avinus. The Gemara says the moment you do an aveda you're a rasha, that is referring to a particular issue, psuleidus, concerning testifying in Bezdin. We say that even with one aveda, he's psuleidus. The moment he does tshuva, he's a tzaddik. But that's only concerning the particular issue of psuleidus. But when we want to discuss the general status and identity and character of the human being, over here the definitions are different. A tzaddik is reiv zachis and a beinoni is mechtze zachis. Is, and a rosh is reva vinus. And you're saying, you're adding that the implications of this would be concerning reward and punishment. How do we define this person when it comes to reward and punishment? If he has one Aveda, do we define him as a Rasha? So you're saying concerning Psalei Eidus, we define him as a Rasha. But concerning reward and punishment, we define him as a Tzaddik. And when he has Mechtzah Zachi, he's a Beinani. And when he has Reiv Aveinus, he's a Rasha. Okay, that's a very good question. Let me add even more. What you're suggesting is not just a hypothetical possibility. It says Taka. In Chazal and in other places, it says clearly, explicitly, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Tzayin discusses Tzadikim, Beinanim, and Rishayim, and the definition you have given is the definition given there. A Beinani is a Jew with Mechtza Zachias and Mechtza Aveinus concerning reward and punishment. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Hadin, after 120 years. The same is true in Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. So we in fact have this definition given explicitly in Chazal and Yerushalayim for a Beinani. So the Alter Rebbe himself raises this objection, this question. And the Alter Rebbe explains it and discusses this in the continuation of the chapter, which we will learn in Mitzvah Hashem next week. Yeah. The Girsa. Rava. Okay, yeah. Good, very good. The Gemara, Brachas, Daf Samach Aleph, Amud Bey, says, Amar Rava, Kegoyin Ana Beinani. The Alter Rebbe quoted the Gemara saying, Amar Rabba, in the name of Rabba. You're correct. In the printed Gemara, it says, Amar Rava. But if you look on the side of the page, on Samach Aleph, Amud Bey, the Gilyan writes that in Yalkut and in Ein Yaakov, this episode is quoted, and the Girsa there is Rabba, not Rava. And the Gilyan adds that this Girsa is correct, because Tosfos writes in Masechta Erevin that Abaye never called the Rava with the term Mar, because Mar is the term used to describe a Rebbe, a mentor. And Rava was not Abaye's Rebbe, he was Abaye's friend and colleague. Since Abaye responds and replies to the person who said Kegayin Ana Beinani with the words, Leishavik Marcha Yilchol Berya, this demonstrates that he was addressing Rabbi and not Rabbi, because if it would have been Rabbi, he wouldn't have said Mar. Leishavik Marcha. The fact that he says Mar means that he was talking to Rabbi, because Rabbi was Abaye's Rebbe. By the way, Rabbi was also Abaye's uncle. He was Abaye's father's brother. Abaye was born under very tragic circumstances. Prior to his birth, his father passed away. At the time of his birth, his mother passed away. In fact, it says in Svarim, the Aruch writes this, and it's brought another Svarim, that this is the reason why they called him Abaye. Really, his true name was not Abaye. His authentic name was Nachmeni. They called him Abaye because the word Abaye, Aleph Beis, Yud Yud, is an acronym of the words Asher Becha Yerucham Yosem. That's paraphrasing a pasuk in Hosea, I believe in Perek Yudalet, Asher Becha Yerucham Yosem, which means in you the orphan will find compassion and empathy. Since Abaye was an orphaned immediately by his birth, both from his father and his mother, so they termed him Abaye to symbolize this Rosh Teves, Asher Becha Yerucham Yosem. Rabba was the brother of Abaye's father. So when Abaye's parents passed away, Rabbi took him in as a little child and raised him in his home, and he also became his Rebbe. By the way, there's another explanation why he was called Abaye. In addition to the first explanation, other Sfarim, it says as follows. Rabbi was the son of Nachmeni. Rabbi, the Rebbe and uncle of Abaye, his father's name was Nachmeni. Abaye was named Nachmeni after his father's father. His grandfather was also Rabbi's father. So that's why, since he grew up in Rabbi's home, Rabbi didn't want to call him Nachmeni, because he felt that that would be disrespectful on his part, because his father's name was also Nachmeni. So he didn't want to call him Nachmeni. So what did he do? So he gave him the name Abaye. Abaye comes from the term Avi, my father. Abaye is like my father, to indicate that the name of Abaye is like the name of my father, which was Nachmeni. Yeah, where'd they live? This was all in Pompidusa. Pompidusa was a city in Babel in Babylonia, present-day Iraq, in that area, that geographic location. And this takes us back to the 4th century after the Common Era. In any case, it seems clearly that the correct Girsa is not Rava, but Rabba. Hence, the Alter Rebbe quotes this Gemara and says that Rabba is the one who defined himself as the Beinoni. By the way, there is another difference, another interesting difference. In Gemara, it says, Amar Rabba Kagoin Onu Beinonim. We are Beinonim. The Alter Rebbe quotes the Gemara saying, Amar Rabba Kagoin Anna Beinonim. So, interestingly, the same Girsa says the Alter Rebbe, we also find in Reish Chachma, the Sefer Reish Chachma, which I mentioned earlier, authored by Rebbe Leo, Divi Dash, a great Baal Musar and Kabbalist. In Shar Hayira, in Reish Chachma, he also quotes this Gemara and he says, Kigoyin Anna Beinoni. Also, Rashi, when he explains the response of Abaya to Rabbi Lishavik Marchai Lechol Beria, what does Rashi say? Im Atam in HaBeinonim in Lechatzade Gamar Ba'ilam. If you are from the Beinonim, that means there's no complete tzaddik in the world, which means that although Rabbi used the term kegoyin anu Beinonim, Abaya understood his words as implying that he himself is the Beinonim. Because what was Abaya's response? Im atam in ha-Beinonim. If you are from the Beinonim. For example, in Pirush, in the commentary of Rabbeinu Chananel on this Gemara, he interprets Abaya's words to mean im i'anan beinonim anu. This is a quote. I'anan beinonim anu leshavik marchai lechalbein. If we are beinonim, the Master is not granting life to any creature in the universe. But Rashi interprets Abaya's words as meaning im atam in habeinonim. So it's possible that these two aspects, the Girsa and the Reish Chachma, and the terminology that Rashi uses, are served maybe as the origin and the source for the Girsa that Alter Rebbe quotes in Tanya. Yeah. You want to ask something earlier? Yeah. Why, if Rabbi is a Beinoni, why leishavik marchai lechol beria? Why isn't he granting life to other creatures if he is a Beinoni? I think I quoted before Rashi. I just mentioned Rashi. Rashi explains that Abaya was telling him, "Im atam in a Beinonim, if you are from the Beinonim, ein lecha tzaddik gamar ba'olam." Automatically, that means that there's no complete tzaddik in the world because Rabbi was one of the spiritual giants of the generation. If Rabbi is nothing but a Beinoni, so how many Jews can already be in the state of a tzaddik? Never mind a tzaddik gamar. The majority of the Jewish community is certainly in a lower level than Rabbi, in a far lower level than Rabbi. So if Rabbi is from the Beinonim, how many tzaddikim can there be already? Parenthetically, in Rashi and Yaakov, in this Gemara, there's another Girsa. There's a Girsa where Rashi adds a few words. U'mashvinim l'kula alma rishayim, and you deem the whole world rishayim. Which means that if Rabbi defines himself as a Beinonim, it's not just that there are no tzaddikim in the world. Furthermore, by that, he is implying that the entire world are in the level of rishayim. Because if Rabbi is a Beinoni, certainly most people are inferior spiritually to Rabbi. They're inferior in their moral, ethical, and spiritual state to Rabbi. So they are in the level of Rishayim. So by saying that he's a Beinoni, he's not granting life to anyone else. Yeah. Who? I don't understand the connection. You want to say that the difference between the Beinoni and the Tzaddik, perhaps the question of the Alter Rebbe can be explained, can be answered by saying that the difference between the Beinoni and the Tzaddik is that he is a Chacham. Who's a Chacham? The Beinoni or the Tzaddik? What do you mean by the term Chacham? Smart Aleck. No. There was once a Jew came to the Kotzke Rebbe. He considered himself extremely intelligent and extraordinarily wise. But he was Nebuchadnezzar Shlomazel, he was a poverty-stricken Jew. And he couldn't earn a decent livelihood. He was very poor. He once came to the Kotzke Rebbe, he poured out his heart to the Rebbe. He says, "Why is it that all other Jews who are far less wise and intelligent than I am earn a very nice livelihood? And I, every business that I try to lay my hands on, immediately goes bankrupt. I can't earn a simple livelihood to support and to sustain my family." The Kotzke Rebbe gazes at the Jew and he says, You know, your complaint is already a complaint that was discussed in the days of old. The wisest of all men, Shlomo HaMelech, describes in Kehelas this state by saying, Loi lachachamim lechem, wise people do not have bread. So the Yid tells the Rebbe, I know what Shlomo HaMelech says. I know that he says, Loi lachachamim lechem, but my question is why? Why is it, Taka, that such wise people don't have bread? The Rebbe looks at the Jew and he says, because Hashem tells these wise, intelligent Jews, you're so smart, let's see how you earn your livelihood on your own. Have a wonderful week.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya each Sunday morning at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or to receive the tapes weekly by mail, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.